Thank you very much. Our next presentation from Olaf about the OpenCast Community Project. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the introduction. Thank you for the invitation. Let me start by telling you how impressed I am to see how active this community seems to be here in the UK, which I quite envy from a German or a Swiss perspective, I have to say. Even though I make this statement right at the beginning, I would like to interest you in another community, which is a global one, and that is, of course, the OpenCast community and the various activities in that community. I'm Olaf Schulte, and I work for ETH Zurich at the multimedia services there. We are in charge of producing and managing and distributing audiovisual material, of course. This is why I'm here. But we are also part of that OpenCast community I'm going to be talking about. When I arrived here, I overheard a conversation by Jason and Adrian over what the term podcast actually means. And I think that it has different meanings for everyone. And there were some trends a couple of years ago to use a different term. MIT used webcast instead. And when we met the people from Berkeley for the first time, around about 2 years ago, they came up with the term opencast to describe audio and video content distributed over the net, over the internet freely. And that was where the term opencast was really coined when they tried to explain to us what their visions were. And they had quite a few visions, especially with regard to the OpenCast community, and you can see some of these ideas to whom this OpenCast community might be of interest in the initial idea. It is a project that has been driven by UC Berkeley right from the start. They had some funding for that, I think, around about in 2006 and 7. To really get an insight into what institutions are doing in that area of audiovisual material related to academia or related to education, higher education especially, of course. And what they did was they started to connect to various institutions in the US, and then a step which I found quite remarkable, they turned towards Europe and even asked us for what we were doing, and this is how the OpenCast community then came to Europe. And because these are very bad, I'm going to show you that, or try to show you that. No, I'm not going to show you that on the presentation. So I have to direct you to the URL there. Sorry for that. It's really a website that tries to include all the different activities that the OpenCast community is dealing with. And these activities, they have different levels and different characteristics. We have a discussion group, of course. We have a mailing list, of course. We have meetings, and we announce meetings. We announce, for example, meetings like this where you can connect to other people. It's really the attempt to connect the people that are dealing in different ways, and I showed you the stakeholders or the target groups here that connect to audiovisual material in any sort of form and way. And one of the most interesting projects is maybe at the moment, and that is the project that we have been talking about, one that is called Matterhorn, or the Matterhorn Project. And you can see that as part of the mission statement of the OpenCast community, we try to support individual community partners, institutions or individuals, to really start projects out of that OpenCast community. Whether these activities are being funded or whether they are on an individual level, the main point is that they relate to the common focus of the OpenCast community. And I'm going to be talking about the different projects and the different discussions we are having within that community at the end of the presentation. But the main project that might be of interest here is, at the moment, a larger project called the Matterhorn Build Project. The idea is really to build a new solution for the management of audiovisual content. That's a very abstract description, I think you will agree. But basically, we have a situation where we have different solutions. I'm going to be talking about one solution that we develop at ETH Zurich in a minute. You saw the solution from Osnabrück in a presentation this morning by Markus, the Wirt Presenter. There are all kinds of solutions to help you really produce and manage that audiovisual content that we are talking about, open source solutions and commercial solutions, of course. But during the discussions we had in the last 2 years in that OpenCast community, we really came to the conclusion that none of these solutions is perfect in the way that we would like it to have. And it was really a matter of trying to define the requirements of institutions, and not only of those institutions that were already part of the OpenCast community, but really trying to get requirements from those institutions that were only beginning to deal with these matters of audiovisual content, and trying to find out what their expectations would be towards such a product. Now, as we decided to go for a new solution, we also decided, of course, that we had different ways of doing so. One was the open source way, but we actually then, and that was certainly because of the fact that UC Berkeley had these connections to the Mellon Foundation in the United States, we actually decided to go for a community source project, which means there is a dedicated group of institutions that will be funded for the effort they put into Matterhorn over the next 1 or 2 years. And as you can see, there's a good relation, a good proportional thing between institutions from the United States and European institutions who will be taking part in that effort to build a new management system for that audiovisual content. Now, the time frame for this is that we hope to be starting the project in mid-2009, depending on the final decision or upon the funding, of course. And we will go for a Matterhorn 1.0 in 2010, which is really a very short time, given the fact that we have 13 partners there, which we have to coordinate. But we, especially because of the experience I just mentioned from individual partners, are very hopeful that we will be able to integrate the various strengths these systems have. So, for example, if you take the user interface from this system, which we consider to be the best one, and the capture device from here, and maybe the framework from here, we are really hopeful that we will be able to keep that time frame working for us. And as you can see, there's the optional second phase, including, of course, the funding for that, if we are successful to deliver on Matterhorn 1.0, then there will be additional funding to do an encore in a way that is certainly needed to put the system where other systems maybe already are in parts of their functionalities. Now, the reason why Replay suddenly appears here is not only the fact that I come from ETH Zurich, where we have developed Replay as a solution, but also really because Replay is a sort of interim solution until Matterhorn will be released next year, and maybe even a solution beyond that, depending on the further development of Matterhorn, of course. As I said, Replay is one solution that tries to cover the total life cycle of a production that is mainly focused towards lecture recording. So we start in the lecture hall with a capture system, and then we sort of go through the different stages. And I'm not going to go into the details here, there's just one thing that I would like to mention explicitly, because it seems to me to be quite important. That is that we are doing indexation in Replay. And that is, we take the slides we capture, and then we read what is on these slides by using OCR technology. And then we have metadata, of course. And we have metadata not upon the whole lecture, but really we have metadata over time, dynamic or isochronic metadata. And what we can do then is really to open this isochronic metadata to students and everyone else using the output, that is the actual recording, to go into the 90-minute lecture or 80-minute lecture in Switzerland and have pinpoint access to where a specific keyword is mentioned on the specific slide. So really, you should be able to go into this specific lecture by finding the word workflow here, for example. And that is something what I think is unique to Replay at the moment, and it will certainly be part of the services and functionalities that will go into the development of Matterhorn there, just like the user interface from Osnabrück will go into that, and the capture device from Saskatchewan, for example, and the total experience of the different parties involved there. Now, the most interesting part is that our project will end in a couple of months, and Matterhorn, or the Opencast community in general, has been our sort of place where we would like to put Replay into, or we would like the Opencast community, and especially the Matterhorn group, to take care of Replay, because we can't really safeguard the long-term development of Replay because of the fact that it has been developed in the framework, or in the restrictions of a project, which basically means that you come to an end and then you don't have a developer to continue working upon that. And we are very hopeful and optimistic that most of what the functionalities of Replay are can be found in Matterhorn by the end. And that sort of keeps it going also for us, because we would like to migrate from Replay to Matterhorn as soon as it is ready for that specific migration. These are some other solutions that I should mention, really. You have seen the Word Presenter this morning. There is the solution Surf Media, which comes from the Dutch Enron SurfNet, which is all about distribution of audiovisual content, of course, mainly from the broadcasters there. Then we have Pumukit, which is also a national solution in Spain, also very interesting, working upon RSS aggregation there. To my knowledge, the first national solution in that way, and a very powerful and very big one, to my knowledge at least. And then you can look at the same sort of market from a different perspective, because we have also, of course, commercial companies who provide that sort of solution to you. And we think that with the experience of the different partners that have been and will be involved in the Matterhorn project, and also with the input we are looking for from the Opencast community, that is really where we think that Matterhorn should play an important role. Now, coming back to the Opencast community here in the end, we are really looking forward to the Opencast community, and that is anyone who would like to join either the mailing list or the official Opencast community by signing a memorandum of understanding or whatever that exactly means, that you will provide input on what your expectations are towards a solution like Matterhorn. Because even though there are a couple of universities that have the experience for quite some time, you heard Osnabrück is now in their sixth or seventh year, we would like this product to become one that can be used at institutions who are new to this specific area, or who don't have the experience or who have a limited workforce to take care of that. And that's really important to us, that we get this kind of information from institutions within the OpenCast community. Now, what I've tried to do is to really show you how broad the discussion in the OpenCast community is. For example, Peter and Ben gave us some insight into their system, and what they did was they were collecting metadata, if I'm correct. And the question is really, what kind of metadata are you collecting? Is it a standardized metadata scheme? Is it an official one? Is there an official metadata scheme for audiovisual content in academia? I really wouldn't know, but I know that there are people in that OpenCast community who are discussing these matters and who will collectively develop some kind of metadata scheme, because metadata, of course, is and are important to exchange content. And the exchange of content also is something that is being discussed in the OpenCast community, because, for example, there are people who think that the largest repository of audiovisual academic content shouldn't be exclusively handled by a commercial company, but should also be handled by, say, something called, sorry about this, the Open University, maybe. And there is an initiative, for example, to have an alternative to iTunes U, and also something where you can participate as soon as you enter that website and as soon as you find your area of interest. If you are interested in educational aspects, as we have been talking about this morning, if you have sort of guidelines to producing podcasts, well, put them on that site or distribute them and let other people know what your experience is and what you think they should do when it comes to producing these podcasts. And of course, Peter will love this, is the discussion around intellectual property rights versus open access. We at ETH are also proud that most of our content, more than 90%, are freely available. But I know that as soon as we sort of connect this content to, say, learning management systems, we run the danger of hiding our content in these learning management systems. As soon as we talk about authentication and authorization, we run the risk of really hiding away the content. And that's not something that we would like to do in the long run, because we believe, and we believe that at ETH especially, that we are not using this content only for students today, but that we are sort of collectively building a knowledge pool which comes from teaching. This is why we would like this content to be archived for a long time. This is something that you can also discuss here in the OpenCast community, how to archive material, what kind of formats you should use. Because we believe that anyone who produces audiovisual content from, say, teaching, academia in general, contributes to that teaching knowledge pool that really you can dive into today and tomorrow. And that is what we are looking for in the long run as a solution and as a vision, that there is a free exchange of that content for students and for others who are interested in that. And that is really also, I believe, the vision behind the OpenCast community. And I would be happy to see a couple of you joining that OpenCast community and to discuss matters further with you. Thank you.